Wow. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? You guys look wonderful. Happy Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Hey, I don't know if you guys knew, last service we didn't have power. And we were, you know, in here doing, you know, the church thing. But then at the end, power came on. Listen, God is clearly in the place today, y'all. I was a little bit nervous. I didn't think I was loud enough for the auditorium and everything. So, but no, we did it. We did our thing, and God showed up. Well, but good morning, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We got a special message for you guys. Before we get into that message, I got one announcement for you. As you guys know, Easter is right around the corner, y'all. Right around the corner. April 20th is Easter. Just a couple things to fill you in for that weekend, because we're doing things a little bit different coming up. Just a little bit different. On the 18th, that's the Good Friday service, we're going to be having two services that day. Right? We've only done one in the past, but listen, God has been blessing and growing our church. Right? People have been coming. People are visiting. Amen. That's something we got to thank God about. To the point where we have to have two services that day, 5 o'clock and the 6:30 service. So just to let you know, we are going to be having kid services for both. Got it? For both services, there will be kid services. Just make sure you guys come on out, take the time and be there. Yes, kids ministry, you are dismissed. You are dismissed. I'm sorry. Sorry, kids ministry, you are dismissed. But yes, we're on Good Friday. We're going to be having two services. But then on Sunday, catch this. We're going to be celebrating baptisms and also dedications on Resurrection Sunday, y'all. Man, the Lord is awesome. So we talked about it last service. So before I talked about it, we had about 8 people signed up for baptism. I just got a notification that we had 3 more people signed up. Right. And so that means, you know, man, we might have to do baptism at both services. We don't know. We're trying to figure that out. Be on the lookout for that, for more to come. But we know this here at Christ Church. Baptism is nothing but an outward expression of an inward conviction. We believe that as followers of Jesus, when one professes faith, the next step is baptism, what is consistent in the New Testament, right? So there are some of you in this room today that you've made a solid commitment to Christ, and that's awesome. The scripture calls us to make the next step, which is to go public with that. Which to go public with that. And all that means is that we remind the others, Christ is Lord, right? Christ is Lord, and I'm walking with him. So if that is you today, make sure you come and see us, sign up, maybe even stop at the Connection Center and sign up from there, and so you guys can know about baptism. We do have baptism classes that will be coming up to give you more information about what we believe and what we understand baptism to be from a Christian perspective. So, well, today we're going to be continuing in our sermon series, The Way of Jesus. Mark chapter 6 is where we're going to be at. We've been walking through the Gospel of Mark the last several weeks. I've been loving Mark, been loving walking through this gospel, but we're going to have a special person do some scripture reading today. We're going to have one of our high school students, Miss Olivia, come on up, do some scripture reading for us. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness and all of who you are and all of what you will always be. Father, today is a day where we don't need to hear a speaker, but we need to hear your spirit. Today is a day where we don't need to be persuaded by a man's words, but we need to be profoundly moved by the words that come from you. And so, Lord, use me as your vessel today to communicate that very truth. Use me as the one who you want to communicate spiritual truths to your people so that we can change the rhythms that we've been at lately. Because for many of us, what we've been doing has not been working for us physically, emotionally, but more importantly, spiritually in our walk with you. So today, Lord, let us not be wowed by a message, but let us be convinced this is the way we're going to walk in this. Let this cause great change towards what you want to produce into our lives. We absolutely admit today we need you, Lord Jesus. And apart from you, we are nothing. We're nothing and we can do nothing. But with you, Lord, all things are made new. All things are possible. We love and we honor you. In Christ's wonderful and perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, give it up for the worship team one more time. Live it up. Hey, give it up for Miss Olivia, teenager, hanging out with us. I can tell you right now, when I was a teenager, I was not in church, all right? That's a testament that God is moving right there, amen? That's wonderful. Well, yeah, like we said, we're going to be walking through, continuously walking through this passage, this book, the Gospel of Mark, through this series, The Way of Jesus. But before we get into this particular passage that we want to talk about today, there's one term that I was introduced to when I became a parent. I never heard of this before, and maybe some of you who have children have heard of this, and maybe some of you who don't have children, you need to hear this, right? So for everyone, this is for you. So I was introduced to this term called overstimulating parenting. You guys ever heard of this before? Some of you are shaking your heads with toddlers right now. Some of you are smiling like I know exactly what he's talking about. Overstimulating parenting. I've never heard of this before, right? If you want an example, this is what this means. Overstimulating parenting is when you have a time where you have multiple kids getting on your nerves and the house is dirty. You haven't used the bathroom in 16 hours. You are wrecked. You're just reacting to everything pretty much. You're overstimulated, right? And that word, it just captures me because that it just describes my parenting lately. I just feel overstimulated about everything and anything, right? And again, if you have kids, you know exactly what this means, right? And if you don't, get ready, right? Overstimulating parenting. The word overstimulating just really grabs me. I think the reason why, listen, not just in regards to parenting, I just think in regards to life, life feels overstimulating. Am I right? Right? This means yes. Right? Life in general just feels a bit overstimulated. And here's what the definition of someone who is just overly stimulated. It's when one's senses or mental capacity feels overloaded. Y'all, it's only March and I feel exhausted. I feel like how I should feel in November, right? And it's only March and I'm just tired, right? It's when one senses or mental capacity is overloaded. And here's how you know if you're overstimulated. Anybody feeling the fatigue from stress? Yeah, stress. Right? And stress isn't just from one avenue. There's multiple avenues of stress. Stress from family, stress from work, stress from just parents, everything. Just stress, stress, stress. And anybody, here's how you know if you're overstimulated. Anybody constantly grumpy? Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Dee Dee. The only Christian in the room today. The rest of you repent. Anybody just always mad about something? Like, you could be mad about just the street, and it's just, you know, you look at it and you just get mad, right? Always grumpy about everything. How about this? Anybody, this is how you know if you're overstimulated, anybody have a hard time or deal with being unmotivated? Right? Anybody, you make a lot of plans, and then the next thing you know, those plans don't fall through. I'm going to read more books. Those books still sitting on your shelf. You know, I'm going to do this. And just, you know, anybody, how about this? Have trouble concentrating? Yeah. These are signs of you feel overstimulated. Anybody, here's another one. Anybody find themselves always responding in an unhealthy way? Right? Oh, why'd you look at your... Somebody went just like this. Don't do that. I'm talking to you too, right? Right? We all, listen, at the end of the day, one thing that I notice is that all of us have experienced a state of being overstimulated, right? Because here's the thing, and I wanna understand your context a little bit. Speaking to your context a little bit, life is hard for many of us. Life has its difficulties, right? And because of the difficulties, it's easy to find us in a place in a state of constant frustration, right? It's easy for us to find ourselves in those places. And it doesn't matter what we do, what we take away, it still seems that frustration is present, right? It seems to always be present in our lives. Frustration from juggling various tasks or trying to stay on top of everything, never able to actually catch your breath. And deep down, that frustration, what that is, that's your soul longing to find relief and quietness. Deep down inside, if you are somebody today where you're overstimulated more than you would like, what your soul is communicating, what God is communicating to you is your need for, you ready? Here's our word for the day, is your need for rest. That's God, is your need for rest. Now, when I say rest, and we're going to get into that more in just a little bit, rest, I don't mean you need more sleep, even though I would love a power nap or two a day. Anybody love a power nap or two a day? Anybody just feel different? After a nice 20, it ain't got to be long, just a 20-minute nap, and you're good to go. You're nice to people after that nap. No. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Like, I don't mean getting more rest. I don't mean going on another vacation, which I would love to do as well. Isn't that what we normally do? When life is hard, we just say, I need time off. Right? We always say that. We always say, oh, man, it's time for me to go on vacation. No. What God in His Spirit, He's trying to communicate to you is that deep down you long for relief and quietness and stillness. And here's our theme for today. Here's our theme for today. If you're taking down notes, and the great Vance Havner said this, one of the great evangelists, if we are going to function at our best, we need time to rest. We are at our best when we're seeking rest, is pretty much is what we're going to talk about today. Now, when I say at our best, I don't mean pursuing your best selves and your best life. What I mean by it, growing in Christ-likeness, what I mean by growing in our faith, what I mean by deepening our dependency upon God, what I mean by deepening our communion with God, if you and I, for us to be at our best, we need to seek more rest. We need to seek more rest. And I believe that seeking more rest allows us to produce better rhythms than what we have been doing lately. Because a lot of us can admit today what we've been doing hasn't been working. And God wants to download within our spirits today a new way, a better way, and tell us this is the way. And that way happens to be finding rest in Him. We find this concept in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. If you have your copies of the scriptures, go ahead and bring it out, copies of the scripture. Or if you don't have the copies, it'll be on the screen for you. This is Jesus wanting to teach a valuable principle when it comes to the Christian life. Right, let's begin at verse 30. Listen to what he says. It says this, meanwhile, the apostles, who happened to be the disciples, the 12, the apostles, they gathered around Jesus and brought him the news of all they had done and taught. More on that in just a little bit. And he said to them, come away with me privately to a solitary place. Let us, here's the word, you ready? Rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Verse 32, so they went away in a boat by themselves to a solitary place. Here's what Jesus is going to introduce for us. He's going to introduce to us the practice of rest. Now, what is rest? Here's what rest means. If you're taking down notes, here's what, from a Christian standpoint, spiritual rest is to cease from activity for the soul to be filled with God. It means to cease from activity so that your soul may be filled with God. And this is actually from a Christian understanding. We understand this as the discipline of silence and solitude. That's what we understand this as the discipline of silence and solitude. And let me express to you one thing. Jesus was really good. Here's the one thing I need you to understand. He was really good at teaching and showing you and I the way of life. Sure, he is the living water. Sure, he is the Word made flesh. Sure, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sure, he is God in flesh, right? He is raised and seated, forever reigning. But you want to know one thing Jesus really did good, did really well at? Teaching you and I how to be human. And how did he do that? By showing us and demonstrating to us. And one thing you can see constantly, if you read the Gospels, Jesus was really good at seeking rest in the Father. Seeking rest in the Father. Go and read. Before Jesus does major miracles, what do you capture Jesus doing? He rises up early. Everybody's still asleep. What is Jesus doing? He's praying. Thank you. Right? Well, when things are busy, what does Jesus do? He learns how to depart and go and be with the Father and knows how to be present. When things seem to kind of get difficult, you can read about this in the Gospel of John. He goes to this Garden of Gethsemane. What does Jesus do? He goes to the Father. You know what Jesus was really good at doing, friends? He knew when to take a break. Jesus was really good at knowing when the time would stop. Now, notice how the passage works its way out. In verse 30, we see the apostles, the disciples, who would be called the apostles even more in the book of Acts, they come back and they tell Jesus all they had done. If you take the time and you read earlier in the chapter, Jesus summoned and sent them out to do ministerial work, kind of a preparation for what's going to happen when he dies, rises, and ascends, and the church begins, right? Kind of like a taste of what is to come. And they come back and they say, Jesus, we did all of this, right? And if you read about it, they did some pretty cool things, right? They healed people. Was the last time you healed somebody? Okay, right? They spread the gospel. They did all these cool things. They worked. They actually worked. And what does Jesus tell them to do next when, after their work? What does he do? He tells them to what? Rest. Rest. You know, the one thing that I've noticed is that you and I confuse busyness for success. And the one thing you and I are not good at doing is knowing when to stop. You ever parents in the room today, and maybe, you know, those who are looking forward to parenting, you ever had a toddler not take a nap in a day? Yeah. It's the worst thing ever, isn't it? It's like the devil manifested himself just right there, right? Yeah, keep going. Yeah, okay. You ever have a toddler skip a nap? Have you ever seen a toddler skip a nap? And I mean like a one-year-old skip a nap. It is awful. Right? It is just terrible. And you know they need listen, when my kids always wanted to skip their naps, literally so much anxiety would build up and build up. I remember one time they just kept going and going. They don't know they need to take a break. Because in their mind, they just mean, I got to keep going and 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 going. Right? I'm not kidding. One time the kids, they went so hard, they fell asleep on our stairs. And I said, you're going to stay right there. I'm not moving you, okay? I'll step right over you to get to where I need to get to, okay? You know one thing you and I keep doing is we keep going and going and working and working. And we confuse busyness for success. We think, man, the busier I am, the better. But the scriptures teach us something very opposite. The scriptures teaches us you and I need to know when to stop and when to catch our breath. When to stop and when to seek presence with God to catch our breath. And a lot of us, for many of us, life is busy. The demands of life are pulling at us. You have a lot on your plate, and I get it. You have a lot on your plate when it comes to your job. You have a lot on your plate when it comes to your responsibilities at home. You have a lot on your plate when it comes to your family and friends. You just have a lot going on. But I do know this. Sometimes the more the demands increase, the more Christ decreases. You ever notice that? The more the demands of life begin to increase, the busier I get, the more Jesus gets pushed out. We got to be on guard for that. As a matter of fact, for some of us, we need to realize this. Sometimes we need to realize that as the demands increase, so does our rest need to increase. Because some of it, you can't just not do the things you're doing. Listen, that'd be ignorant of me to say, just take away some things. No, you got a lot going on, and you got to do them. But as you do them, seek more of him. Continuously seek him in your life and do that more and more, because if we're not careful, we will let the demands of life keep us from finding rest in Christ. For some of you today, there are some of you today that life is just pulling you in a lot of directions and is pulling you further from Jesus. This is why seeking rest in him is important. This is why seeking him is essential, so that you and I would learn how to manage life well. So we would learn how to put into priority what needs to be priority. Because I've noticed this, when Christ isn't my priority, I tend to make the wrong things the priority. I tend to put things and prioritize them in the wrong order. Anybody have a problem with overcommitting? Silence says a lot. Anybody a yes man or a yes woman? Yeah. that was a heavy yes. She said yes. Listen, anybody like me, when somebody calls you, let's say a family member calls you, and you know you don't have the time to do it. You know you're busy. And you know you got things to do. And when they ask you to do something, you know, you ever had that family member that tries to manipulate you to do something? Like, hey, I got this thing. And you're like, yeah, I got to go do this. And like, oh, can you spare me, you know, 20, 30 minutes? And you end up giving into it, right? Right? We're people who perpetually overcommunicate or overcommit to everything. And I've noticed for me, whenever I commit, one thing that the reason why I do that is because I want to be seen as important. Did I hit too hard? I don't care. You know, because I want to be seen as somebody that other people can count on. And if I can't be seen as that person, well, then all hope is lost, right? So therefore, I'll say yes to everything. I'll even say yes to the things and allow them to get ahead and in front of the important things like my family. And I put my family second. I put my family third, right? And we got to learn this spirit that you and I need to learn this one thing. And if you're taking down notes, write this down. It won't be on the screen. You and I need to learn how to set boundaries. You need to do a really good job at setting boundaries. Pastor Craig Rochelle, pastor of Life Church, very well-known pastor, said this. No is a complete sentence. Hey, you got time to do this? No. And guess what? You don't have to give an explanation why. Hey, you got time? Hey, you got, can you do this for me? Hey, pastor, can you come preach at this funeral? Can you preach it? No, I can't. And don't even say sorry. Nope, can't. Right? No is a complete sentence. You and I need to learn how to say no so we can say yes to the right things. We do. We got to get better at that, friends. And Jesus is teaching us the value of what it means to do this. And we find this when we are seeking rest in Christ more and more in our lives. Silence and solitude. There's three reasons why Jesus says this is essential, right? Let's start with the first one. Three reasons. The first one is silence and solitude is essential because it minimizes distraction, right? Anybody like me, when you know, you're at the house, you just have the TV on in the background, you're not watching it, you just have it on. Anybody? Yeah. You just have it on, right? The one thing that I realized in that moment, I'm addicted to noise, and any time that it's quiet, I cringe. I ask Logan, and when it's like quiet, like in the room, like during service, I'll be like, somebody string a guitar or something. It's like something happened. A baby cries. Something has to happen right now, right? We don't like silence. For instance, if I were to stop talking right now, the only thing you will remember about the sermon is when the little guy stopped talking. You'd be like, how was it, sir? How was church today? I don't know, but the guy stopped talking for 30 seconds and it got awkward. Do you remember when he preached from? No, but I remember when he was quiet. Right? Silence makes us uncomfortable, right? But I love Jesus says, let's go to a solitary place. Bring up verse 31 for them again. Jesus, he says, let's go to a solitary place. Now, some of your translations might say a desolate place, a remote place. I think the CSB, if you have the Christian Standard Bible, I think it says a remote place, right? These are very good translations, and all they mean is that they would have meant in Jesus' time an ancient place where distraction is limited, right? Now, notice what Jesus says. Notice this. He says, come with me to this place. Meaning this, they have to, listen to this, physically move, right? Jesus doesn't say, oh, you know what, just all sit here. Because remember, in the text, it says many people were coming and going. Their ministry was popping. It was growing. It was huge. A lot was going on. Many people wanted to see Jesus and see his signs and miracles and whatnot. And you know what Jesus says? You need to leave this place and go and find rest. Right? And they do that. And my second application point that I want to tell you is some of you need to designate a space where it's just for you and God, right? And you need to go to that place. For me, it's in my garage. My wife gets the house. When she gets the house, I get the garage, right? Sometimes it's just me, right, in the scriptures, in my notebook, in my headphones. Right? And we just sit there. Right? And I just sit there. Some of you need to have a place that is just for you and God to eliminate distractions. Right? What's the second reason why a silence and solitude is important? Well, number two, it's to express worship and faith in God. When I decided to propose to my wife, there were two things that I stressed about the most. How I was going to propose to her, right? Because that's like super, uber important, you know. But also the second thing was, what kind of ring am I going to give her? The stress that came with that was like no other. I'll never forget how stressful it was. I remember going to the mall and going into a Claire's. And the lady at Claire's is like, you are not buying your wife a ring here. Turn around and go out and go somewhere else, okay? I was like, why not? It's $20. Like, you know, it ain't that bad. Listen, you know, I got a part-time job. I ain't got money like that. She said, sir, go. Okay, just go and get on the payment plan. That's it. That's what I did. So so I remember going out, and I remember the stress of trying to find a ring, right? The ring's got to be perfect, right? And I'll never forget the day that I proposed to her. I walked in, I was singing Boys to Men, you know, and she was just like, I don't have homework, get away from me. I'm like, okay, you know. But I get down on one knee in front of family, in front of people, and I proposed to her, and the only thing she was worried about was the ring, right? I'm like, you know, will you marry me? And she's like, you got the right ring. I'm like, can you answer the question? Like, you know, are we going to do this or what? You know, but I remember the ring, the diamond, the ring. I remember her after how excited she was. And like every female, they go on social media and say, look what happened. I said yes. And, you know, you said yes to the ring, not to me. No, but in all of this, right? It's interesting, the beauty of the ring. It delights something within people, right? Beauty itself moves people to delight. When you see something that's worthy and that's valuable and that's precious, it does something in you, right? It does something in you. It actually, like, it brings your joy meter up. And that's what God wants you to experience in his presence with him. That you would see the beauty that's in him. That you would see the value that's in him. That you would understand his worthiness. That you would come to his splendor. That you would worship him. That you would see him above all. And it's in those moments. It's in those moments where, yes, life cannot be going so great. And for a lot of us, life is not going so great. But when I look to God, my joy meter increases, not because things got better, but because I'm looking at his value. Because I'm looking at his beauty and that God, he is worthy and he is above all. And he's amazing in splendor and sight. And that's what it means to come to God, to express worship and faith towards him more and more. Something happens when you and I do that. Right? You know what happens when we come to God? When we seek rest in Christ, it refreshes our minds. And there's one thing you and I need to do more and more is to keep watch of what's trafficking up here. Because life rises or falls through how you think. Right? Life rises or falls by your thoughts. See, what we need the most is to have our minds filled. Ancient practice always says emptying in the mind. The meditation practice means emptying in the mind. The scripture says, no, God wants to fill your mind, right? And a lot of us, we need our minds to be renewed in the presence of God. And our minds are made new when we look to the things that are above. When we look to God, when our minds are focused upon his beauty and his glory more and more, right? Here's another reason why I believe when we seek rest in Christ, here's the one thing that happens. When we seek rest in Christ, we can reflect upon his goodness. I love how the disciples, they came to Jesus and they said, look what we did. Look what we did, Jesus. For them, life was going really well. Really, really well. They were excited. They were pumped. They were all of that, right? They have seen what he had would do through them and everything. And I find it interesting that for many of us, yeah, life is hard, but We also have a lot of things that we can say, you know what, life is going pretty well, right? Life is going pretty well. And I've noticed it's actually in those seasons of life when it's easy to forget God. You ever notice that? When you aren't facing anything hard, when you aren't facing any trouble, it's easy to forget about God, am I right? It's easy kind of to push God to the side. Now, I'm not saying go out here and say, God, bring harm in my life. I'm not saying that. But I do believe this. One of the reasons why we need to seek resting in Christ is so that we can just take time. You ready? We could take time to thank him. We could take time and say, every good and perfect gift comes from you, God. We can come to him and say, God, you have blessed me. Even though I have made a wreck of my life, I have hurt others, I've made unwise choices, I deserve the opposite, but instead you chose mercy and you have blessed me. See, here's why seeking rest in Christ is to take the time and to reflect upon how good God has actually been. You know, the one thing that we're really good at? We're really good at forgetting our blessings and being slow to remember. I messed that up. We're really good at forgetting our blessings and slowing to forget our misfortunes. That's one thing we're really good at doing. We're really good at looking towards our misfortune, and we're really, really bad at reminding ourselves how blessed we actually are, how good God has actually been, how much he has showed up. My wife and I are going to be married 10 years coming up this year. 10 years. I know that's not long for a lot of you that are in this room, right? But when I look back on our marriage, there's one thing that I say. She's a lucky woman. No, but there's one thing that I, right? Keep going. No, there's one thing that I say. If it had not been for the Lord, because here's the thing. Marriage is tough, hard. Two sinners trying to love one another is not easy at all. Right? Two flawed people who have a past trying to love one another. But if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for God who was on our side, if it had not been for God who made provision and made a way, if it had not been for God who spoke the spirit of forgiveness and mercy into our hearts, we would not be here. And there's something about that when we go before God and when we come to God and we say, God, if it had not been for you, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have my family. I wouldn't have these blessings, right? I wouldn't have the great things that you have given me more and more. And so this is the time, friends, that we can go before God and just say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my family. Yesterday I had a really bad day being a dad. I had a really off day being a dad. I yelled at my kids more than I wanted to. I gave them the cold shoulder more than I wanted. I was just frustrated. I was stressing out about a lot of things. They didn't have a good dad yesterday, but you know the one thing that I remember when I woke up this morning? I'm still their dad this morning. And I can thank God for that. They can still call me daddy. And I thank God for that. And what happens is when we take time to reflect, it draws us to depend on God even more and more. When we take time to reflect, we can remind ourselves we can be content and at peace because God has always been good and will be good in our lives. When's the last time you actually separated yourself and just thank God? You ever look back on your life and you realize where you were versus where you are now, and the only way to explain it is God? When's the last time you did that? And that's where a lot of us need to be drawn to do in our time to seek and rest, because it deepens our dependence upon him more and more. Number three, last one, silence and solitude is essential because we get to hear from God. Jesus tells the disciples, come with me and let us go to this quiet place. But in this quiet place, it will not just be silence. You will hear from me. You will hear from your shepherd. You will hear from your leader. Now, I don't want to sit here and say that I've heard God's audible voice. I've never done that before. If that's you, God bless you. Right, but I have heard God's soft whisper in the scriptures. I have heard God's prompting through his word. And one of the reasons why we need to seek rest in God, because if I'm not looking to hear from God, I'm going to listen to the wrong things, which means I'm going to be led to the wrong places. Am I right, friends? You know, if I'm not hearing from God, I'm probably listening to my shame. If I'm not really good at hearing from God, I'm probably hearing the accusations of others. You know, if I'm not really good at hearing from God, I'm probably listening to the sin from my past. Right? If I'm not really good at hearing from God, if I'm not seeking his voice, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And I lead them to green pastures so they can go in and out. I lead them, right? We seek to hear from God so you and I can be best led by God. Because when we are hearing from him, we're better led in life. And the reasons why life feels at its worst is because we're tuning into the wrong station. And we're giving too much attention to the wrong things. And we're giving too much weight to the things that really aren't giving life, but rather taking away life. And your Heavenly Father wants you to get with Him, wants you to hear from Him so He can lead you. Because when you get before Him, He's not speaking words of condemnation. He's speaking blessing and grace and mercy more and more into your life. And He wants His voice to be the most important voice so that He can lead your soul. Why do we need to get before God? Why do we need to silence, practice silence and solitude? Because we need to hear from our Father His great love in which He loves us. We need to hear from our Father His great purpose and His great plan for our lives. We need to hear from Him more and more. Because friends, here's the one thing I want you to know. This discipline of silence and solitude is actually the pathway towards Christ-likeness. If you want to be more like Jesus, rest more. If you want to be more like Jesus, seek rest. And sometimes you got to do that multiple times a day. Sometimes it's not just 20 minutes in the morning. Sometimes it's 20 minutes in the morning, and then it's 10 minutes on your break, and then it's another 20 minutes at night. Sometimes we need to seek rest in Him more and more throughout our days. So the question is this a rhythm you and I are willing to adopt into our lives? Or is what we're doing now working? Is the way you and I have been operating in life, is it working? Is the work, is that working for us? Is the constant chaos of life that's driving our souls, is that working? But Jesus says, I've come to give you life. And you find life when you're seeking Him to find rest in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this great, powerful reminder that You are our rest. Father, for many of us today, our rhythm is not working. Our pace is not doing any good for us. For many of us, we are exhausted upon and beyond what we can fathom. And so, Father, today I pray that tomorrow would be the day, even today would be the day where we would tell ourselves, if there's one discipline that I must adopt in my life, it is the discipline of getting away to hear from my God, of getting away to eliminate distraction, to cease from the chaos and the craziness of this world, so that the voice of my Father can steal my soul. So Lord, I pray that our rhythm today would be Your way. For many of us, we can't afford to keep going at this pace the way we have been. For many of us, we're growing more and more bitter. For many of us, we're going more and more frustrated. It is affecting us mentally, also affecting us physically, emotionally, but more importantly, it's affecting our relationship spiritually with You. So Lord, let this not just be a good idea. Let this be the way of life for us. Let this not just be a cool concept, but rather let this be, this is what I do. Seek rest in the Father. So help us, I pray. Bless us. It's in Your Son's perfect name. Amen.